Hi, this is Pastor Lutzer inviting you to join me and Dr. Michael Radelnik for a tour of Israel this coming March 2015. Just imagine walking the streets of Jerusalem, worshiping in the Garden of Gethsemane, and sailing across the Sea of Galilee. The date is March 2015. For more information, go to moodymedia.org.
Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. One way for believers to handle the temptation of sex outside marriage is to realize who they take to bed with them. God Himself is a witness to all they do there, since they're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Today, how seriously God looks at our sexuality. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Now, Erwin Lutzer comes with more of God's glory in our sexuality.
God implanted something within us that said this unity needs to be there in a marriage relationship, and the oneness, the intimacy that they should have for marriage, that has been shattered. And now where do you go to find it? From bed to bed and from person to person. As a matter of fact, this first relationship is so important that if you continue on, it can actually determine your sexuality. I've talked to a lot of young men involved in homosexuality and asked them, how did you get involved? Oftentimes it's because an older man seduced them into the relationship, and there they are living with the tension of both the exhilaration of it all and the shame of it all and the secrecy of it all. And they begin to think and dream and continue the relationship that has been begun. In fact, I remember reading a book about homosexuality that says any one of us by the age of 14 could have been misled into the homosexual lifestyle if we had had the right experiences with the right person. The power of sexuality. Furthermore, when you live immorally and you're bonded to all these different people, when it comes time to be married and finally have an exclusive commitment to someone, you can understand how difficult it is to maintain that commitment. Let me speak to you just casually and directly today. Here's somebody who lived immorally. He's marrying somebody who lived immorally. They've got all of these soul ties in their mind. The relationship which God intended has been put together and then broken, put together and broken, put together and broken. Now we bring them to the altar, and we all look at the beautiful bride, and we look at the handsome groom, and we expect them to live happily ever after, and they've got all kinds of junk swirling around in their memories and in their minds. It's not as if there's no hope for them, because there is. That's why I'm encouraging you to stay till the end of the message. But do you see, when you begin to mess with this matter of sexuality, the consequences always dog you. So the Apostle Paul is saying one reason why it is so important for us to be morally pure is because of who we're joined to. We're joined to Christ. Don't take Christ into an unholy bed with you as an unwilling partner having to put up with what you are doing as a believer. So that's number one. Number two, notice who the Apostle Paul says indwells us. Notice what the text has to say. And do you not know that he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him? Flee immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, in the Old Testament, God had his temple, and he dwelt there in that temple. And there were two sections to it. There was the larger courtyard. That in Greek was known as the Hieron. And then the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, the Greek word is naos. And that's the word that's used here. He says, do you not know that your body contains the Holy of Holies? Because God is dwelling there. And because God is dwelling there, don't grieve the blessed Holy Spirit of God who has taken residence in your mind and in your heart and in your body. Don't put the Holy Spirit through that kind of grief. There are two sins in the Bible that are spoken of that really do grieve the Spirit. One is bitterness and anger and resentment, and the other one happens to be sexual sin. Now, why is it that the Holy Spirit of God grieves when we sin? Because the Spirit knows things that we should know as well. If you're a parent here today and you are grieving because your child is a runaway, because your child is a prodigal, why do you grieve so much? For two reasons. Number one, you know that the far country is a terrible place and it makes promises it can never keep. And as an adult, you know the consequences of sin, but your child doesn't. So you grieve because of what you know. But the real reason why you grieve is because you love. The more you love a child, the more you're going to grieve because of that child. And the reason that the Holy Spirit of God grieves with us is because the Holy Spirit of God knows, first of all, that sin is a bad idea and sin is actually a mask worn by God's sworn enemy, namely Satan. And God's enemy is the one who wants to make sin to look good to us and deceive us. And so consequently, the Apostle Paul is saying, don't you realize that the Holy Spirit of God who is within you, he knows that, but the Spirit of God also loves us. And because God loves, God is grieved when he sees us go the wrong direction, destroying ourselves, destroying our testimony, and above all, destroying even ourselves as persons. The second reason why we ought to be morally pure is not only, number one, because we're joined to Jesus, but number two, because we are indwelt by the blessed Holy Spirit of God. We are the temple of God. We are not a garage. Would you remember that? We are God's holy temple. Therefore, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But then there's a third reason, and that is because of who bought us. You'll notice it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You were bought with a price. You aren't your own. When you get a sickness, when you're told that you have cancer, you should keep in mind that it is, after all, a body that belongs to God. And God eventually will take you to heaven. We will all die. Death is just around the corner for some of us, though we don't know exactly for who. And God will take us to heaven, and then eventually he'll give us a new body. But our bodies have been purchased by God. First of all, we are his on the basis of creation, but we are also his on the basis of redemption. And because of that redemption, we have an obligation to God to say, here's my body, use it. That's why I've been encouraging you every morning before you get out of bed, as I did this morning, to pray and to say, oh God, today glorify yourself in my life at my expense. Because I'm not my own. I belong to God. I've been purchased at high cost. So Paul is saying that because of these reasons, flee immorality. Flee immorality. He understands that sometimes temptation is so strong that we can't stay around to see whether or not we are strong enough to resist it. You know, we all like that, don't we? We hang around and then we say, I wonder if I'm strong enough in the Lord to resist temptation. Well, let me find out. With that kind of an attitude, we fall into temptation. So the Apostle Paul says, flee immorality. If you've got to leave the job that you're involved in, then leave it. If you've got to break off a relationship, then break it off. Now, having said all that, I promised you in this message that I would give you hope. So for this, I want you to notice that the passage is open to chapter 6, verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9, we're still in the same chapter, but we're beginning at a different point. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? This is a strong passage. Does the Apostle Paul mean that this means that they will not get into heaven or they will just not inherit the kingdom? Many people believe it does indeed mean that the unrighteous will not even get into heaven. And then it says, don't be deceived. Why does Paul say that? Because there is no area in which we long to be deceived as when it comes to sexual sin. We want to believe our lies. We rationalize. We explain. We say, well, we have to live together for economic reasons and for other reasons, and we plan to be married. And you have to understand, I found my soulmate, somebody says. And so I can leave my wife because I finally found somebody who satisfies me. The deceptions are endless. And so the Apostle Paul says, please don't be deceived. Be deceived about some things, but don't be deceived about this. And notice what he says. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers. We usually don't include them, do we? The swindlers? The greedy? I thought it's okay to be greedy. I thought that's what America is all about, is greed. Well, this is what the text says. Nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. There's the list who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Very serious stuff. Don't be deceived. Does this mean, for example, that homosexuals should be changed to heterosexuals in terms of their desires? Well, that oftentimes happens over a period of time, but it isn't necessarily the case. What we expect of those, notice it says, those who practice homosexuality, what we expect of those who struggle with homosexuality is the very same thing that we expect from those who are heterosexual singles, namely chastity and commitment to purity. And that's what the Bible indeed would require. But the question is, how do you get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Notice it says, and this, such were some of you. Such were some of you. Past tense. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Wow. So they had all those sins back then too. Yes, they did. But such were some of you. It's in your past. First of all, the Apostle Paul says you're washed. That means you've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You've believed in his deliverance and his forgiveness. And after you have come to faith in Christ, if you're listening today and you're not a believer, I encourage you to do that. Come to saving faith in Christ. Admit your sinfulness. Be thankful that he died on the cross for sinners and paid the debt of all who would believe on him and receive that free gift of eternal life. And you become washed. And after that, those of us who have had that experience, we continue to be washed through deep confession and repentance. And the Bible says, if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal covenant offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Isn't it wonderful that our consciences can be totally purged? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. You may be forgiven, but also I encourage you to be cleansed. That is to say that even your heart tells you that you have been cleansed by God, because the nagging conscience and the memories and the self-condemnation are all gone because of Jesus and because of your confession. So the Bible says you are washed. David, you remember, committed both murder and adultery, and he said, wash me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I used to ponder that, and those of us who live here in Chicago, knowing what snow is like, we say, how could you possibly get whiter than snow? Until I learned that if you take a bucket of snow and you heat it and it melts, the water, of course, is in the bottom of the bucket, and in that water there is a residue, a residue. God is saying that I can even wash you so clean that there is no residue whiter than snow. So he says, you are washed. Now, washing itself makes us clean, but it doesn't deliver us. It doesn't keep us clean, does it? We need something else. And that's why he goes on to say, but you are sanctified. Sanctified means set apart by God. The actual meaning is you have been made holy by God. And sanctification is a process that we have throughout our entire lifetime, but it cannot happen without some personal disciplines, being in the Word of God, being in prayer, yielding to God every day, giving our days to God. But it also can't happen without help from other believers. That's why we here at the Moody Church, we have TMC communities, we have small groups, we have all of these opportunities for us to meet together, because we cannot live the Christian life alone. And some of you are into addictions and you're into relationships that you cannot break with some outside help from other believers. And that's why it's so important for you to be willing to confess and to go for help to whomever you believe can help you, someone whom you trust, so that these relationships can be broken, because they are tremendously powerful. But God says, I've washed you, you've been sanctified, you've been set apart, you need to live that out, and you have been justified, you have been declared righteous in God's sight. And in being declared righteous in God's sight, you have a standing that gives you some sense of assurance, some sense of knowledge that you belong to God and you belong to Him forever. And so through the washing of the water through the Word, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it talks about that by His mercy we have been saved by the washing of water through the Word of God. In this way, we are constantly being cleansed, we are constantly being helped, we are constantly being given encouragement along our journey of life. Paul says to those involved in such sins, such were some of you. Now I have to ask you a question. Some of you who are listening to this, you're going to have to pay quite a price, aren't you, for obedience to God. But there it says, don't be deceived. Don't continue the rationalizations that you've had in your mind for months and maybe years, because all those fall in the presence of the Word. And the question is, are you willing to pay that kind of price? For some of you, it's breaking that relationship, it's breaking those bonds, it's receiving cleansing for all of the soul ties that you've had in your past. It is a dedication to sexual purity, whether you are married or unmarried, the commitment to be able to say, by God's grace, I will be who Jesus redeemed me to be. And everything that God asks you to do is based on that which Jesus has done. So the work has been laid, the work of the cross, the work of the Spirit is there. But what you need to do is to receive it, and that may be difficult. You know, the Bible says that He breaks the power of canceled sin. It's possible for your sin to be canceled, but its power is still there. And so what you need is help. Help from God and help from others. I remember speaking to a young man here at the Moody Church many years ago who wanted to marry a young woman who had many soul ties in her pre-conversion days. And he asked me about it, and I said that even though this young woman, whom I happen to know, even though she is no longer a virgin in her body, she is a virgin in her soul. There is such a thing, I think, as spiritual virginity. God can restore the years. God can restore the soul so that you can glorify God again, no matter what your past is. But the question is, are you willing to do what is necessary? When Jesus was talking about sexual sin, you remember He says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. And then He says, if your hand offends you, He said, cut it off and cast it from you. Because He says, it would be better for you, and surely it would be, to be in heaven with one eye than to be in hell with two. Or to be in heaven with one arm than to be in hell with two. Obviously, He was speaking metaphorically. But what Jesus was saying in the strongest possible way is this: do whatever is necessary to get rid of those sexual sins and bonds that keep dragging you down. Do not be deceived. Don't rationalize. Accept what God has to say so that it can be said of you, and such were you, but now you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. Let's pray. Father, I have no idea for whom this message is intended, but I know that you know and they know exactly for whom it was intended. I'm only praying that the Holy Spirit of God would grant grace to wherever he has spoken to us, to know that your word says we are to flee from sexual immorality, even at high personal cost. Father, I want to pray for those who are in adulterous relationships that they have justified. I pray that you'll give them the grace to come clean. For singles who are involved in relationships, for those who struggle with homosexuality and those relationships, Father, we're all sinners and we're all broken, but grant special grace, we pray, that we might be able to glorify you in our bodies. And for those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, may they do that even where they are. May they reach out today and say, I want to be cleansed, I want to be made whole by Jesus. Do that, Father, for us, we pray. And now, before I close this prayer, would you talk to God? And would you ask him what you need to do to obey God's word? Father, give all of us a spirit of repentance, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. I think that you have heard a message that needs to be heard across America. A message on sexual purity in an age when we have lost our way, in an age of sensuality. And I hope that you take advantage of these messages. You can go to our website, find more information about us. There are many materials there that are available to you, books and tapes. I want you to be able to take these messages and play them again. Share them with your friends, because the great emphasis is that nothing else really matters except God and his glory. Hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win. I hope that you invite your friends to listen.
Do you think that the most important thing in the world is God?
Nothing Else Matters, a sermon series that emphatically says yes.
I want this to be an idol smasher. These messages are going to smash idols. They're going to be everywhere. Let me say also that we're going to do away with anxiety. Aren't you tired of it? And finally, and most importantly, for many of you, it is going to introduce you to the companionship of God.
In this series, Erwin Lutzer tells how the glory of God brings meaning to every area of life and prepares you for the life to come.
C.S. Lewis said that when we see God after death, at the end, he says, that face, which is the delight or the terror of the universe, must be turned upon each one of us with one expression or the other, either conferring glory inexpressible or inflicting shame that can never be cured or disguised. Once you experience the glory of God and you begin to live for his glory, what other people think, you will not be in bondage to their opinions. You will discover that your life is simplified.
Learn how God's glory impacts your church, your lifestyle, even your sexuality. Nothing Else Matters will be sent to you on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, you can reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Sooner or later, we all experience suffering. But believers have the promise that suffering for the sake of Jesus will be rewarded. Next time on Running to Win, another lesson on why nothing else matters but the glory of God, especially when we're in pain. Don't miss God's glory in our suffering. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.